Amen. When we were watching the Billy Burke healing service that we're at Eagle Mountain, I thought it was really awesome because a couple weeks ago I was sharing with you how that a lot of times people can be healed during worship just right where they're sitting. And he brought up that exact same thing, and there were multiple people that came up that he never even touched, never even laid hands on. And they're like, I was praising the Lord, and all of a sudden I realized I could see better. Or I was praising the Lord and worshiping, and all of a sudden I realized the pain I had was gone. That's what happens in the presence of the Lord. He works through individuals, yes. But he can move and work all the time, anywhere. Amen? And when you come into the presence of the Lord and the gathering of his people, powerful things happen when we come together. That's why he says, don't forsake the coming together with the body. Because something happens when we come into agreement. If two are agreeing, it's done for them, right? Well, can you imagine a whole room full of people agreeing? Wow, we are bulldozing mountains. Amen? So in the weeks to come, I just encourage you, if you come in with something on your heart, don't even wait till it comes up here, till someone calls you forward. Just come expecting. Come expecting that when you walk into his presence, that's what the woman with the issue of blood, what'd she do? She was expecting that when she touched the hem of his garment, that she would be healed, right? She was expecting to be healed. And did she get healed? Yes, she got healed. She came expecting. So when you come, come to the house of God expecting. If you come to church and you don't expect anything to happen, you might as well just stay home. Because, I mean, it's just like you're being at home. You have to come with hearts expecting. When you come with hearts expecting, this place is just going to ignite. Because there's an expectation of his presence showing up. Amen? Amen. That's your mini sermon. That's extra. Today, for our tithes and offering, we're continuing on with the things that Jesus told us about finances. It's our journey with him. If you have your Bibles, you can open up to, it doesn't matter, Mark or Luke. They both are pretty much almost word for word the exact same thing. I'm closer to Luke. I'll just go to Luke. So I'm going to read out of Luke 11 this morning. Oh, wow, long way. In our journey with Jesus, this is where we are today. Oh, sorry, not Luke 11. Luke 21. That's why I was lost. Okay, Luke 21. Sorry. In verse 1, it says, he, meaning Jesus, looked up and saw the rich putting their gifts into the treasury. And he saw also a certain poor widow putting in two mites. Most of us don't know what a mite is. A mite is less than a penny, okay? It's a fraction of a penny. So he said, truly I say to you that this poor widow has put in more than them all. Them all at this point was the rich. They go back to verse 1, the rich that were putting their gifts into the treasury. And Jesus says, this poor woman, widow, has put in more than all. For all of these, out of their abundance, put in offerings for God. But she, out of her poverty, put in all the livelihood that she had. She, out of her poverty, put in all the livelihood that she had. If she put in all the livelihood that she had, and it was less than pennies, she was definitely in poverty. When I was thinking about this, I was thinking about how many times that I have discipled or talked to new Christians about tithing, and they'll say, well, when I get really rich, then I'll tithe. When I get my job, and I start getting a steady income, and I've paid off all my bills, then I'll tithe. But see, that's the wrong attitude. That's like the Pharisees. When they were giving their big gifts, it didn't hurt them to give their big gifts because they had amassed amount of money. They'd amassed their amount of money. If we wait until we're rich enough to give, can I tell you something? You'll never give. If you're not faithful to give 10 cents on your dollar, then I can pretty much guarantee when the $10,000 check comes, you're not going to give your 10% on that either. Why? because you haven't established a pattern. We've established a pattern with our kids from the time they were really little, and they got their they would get their sometimes it was what they earned, but sometimes it was just stuff we blessed them with for their chores. They would get their allowances, and they would have to give their 10%. And we started from a time they're tiny, tiny, learning what that meant. You give the Lord your 10, and you get the 90. And over and over and over again, they have given since they were little tiny kids. So now when the big gifts come, I'm getting emotional because it's amazing to me what happens when you train up a child in the way they should go. They don't depart from it. And now when the big gifts come in that could just be kept for them, they don't keep them. They don't keep them. Hundreds of dollars have been given by my kids. I'm not saying that to blow them up. I'm just saying to show that when you're faithful with the little, you'll be faithful with much. And God blesses them over and over and over and over again. We shared with you before, Lacey's whole college is completely paid for. We didn't pay one dime as parents, not one dime. Not even a 10% of a dollar. Because God is faithful. God is faithful. Say God is faithful. God is faithful. But it begins with learning to trust him with your tithes and to trust him with your finances with the little. The Pharisees didn't have to trust when they put all their money in. This widow gave trusting. She put the last few pennies of money in, less than pennies. And her statement in that one action was, Lord, I trust you more than these. I trust you more than these. It doesn't tell us what happened to her, but I know God's faithfulness. I know God's faithfulness. And I know she never lacked. She gave, and the Lord took care of her. Amen? Trusting the Lord in your giving. Sometimes we'll go along and we'll give and we'll give and we'll give and we'll give, and then we'll have a tight month. You ever had that before? You give, and it's easy to give, and it's easy to give, and you hit that tough month, and you go, Lord, can I catch you next month? Is that okay? If I catch you next month? Don't do that. Give anyway. Give regardless. Why? It's a smokescreen. The devil's trying to smoke you out. He wants you to trust in your finances more than you trust in him. Let's be givers that give trusting God with our finances. Amen? Because what does he do? He wants to give you exceedingly and abundantly above all you could ask or hope or think or imagine. Amen? He has an abundance for you so that you can give to every good work. And what holds him back? Our hearts. If we don't give, if we don't trust him with our hearts, we hold us back. We hold him back from being able to pour out the blessings that he has in store for us. Amen? So we have a choice this morning. We can be like the Pharisees who still gave, but they gave out of their abundance. It doesn't say they gave what they're supposed to. It just says they gave out of their abundance. We know she gave everything. Amen? So my question this morning, are you giving everything, or are you just giving because you're going through the act of giving? Let's give everything to the Lord this morning. Everything that he's asking you to give to him. It's a heart conditioning. We've talked about this before. Every one of these things you could go through all stem back to one thing, your heart. The attitude of the heart, the condition of the heart. Amen? Grab your tithes and offerings this morning. Father, we just thank you and we praise you for your faithfulness to your word. And Lord, we just thank you for this widow's example. We thank you that this story was recorded twice, almost word for word. This story, Father, of those who gave out of their abundance and the one who gave out of everything that she had. And Father, there's such a powerful lesson to be learned here, Father, because I believe there's a day coming, Lord, when we will have multiple millionaires sitting in this room. And in Jesus' name, I call that forth, Father. And for those of you who just now thought, oh, that can't be me. Yes, it can be you. It can be you. Because God has a plan and a purpose, and he needs his church to be healthy. He needs his church to be financed so that we can go out and not have to worry about the finances. And so, Father, I just thank you that there will be millionaires that will be sitting in this church, Father, that are not going to give out of their abundance. They're going to be giving their all because they learned from when it was a little amount to when it was a huge amount, how to give. That they will have childlike faith like our kids to give their 10%, to trust the Lord with the 10%, to trust you in our giving. Lord, I just thank you and I praise you, Father. If there's any amount of lack of trust in anyone in this room still today, I bind it, I break it, and I thank you, Father. We are going to trust in the Lord with all of our heart and lean not on our own understanding about our finances. But in all our ways, in our finances, we're going to acknowledge you, and you're going to make our path straight. You're going to lead us. You're going to guide us. You're going to bless us. You're going to direct us as we are faithful, Father, as we are faithful to give you everything. We just praise you for this today. Bless every seed that is sown, and bless the sower today, Father. Multiply that harvest 100 times back, Father, so that we can give and give and give and give to every good work that you direct us to. In Jesus' name, amen.
Somebody say amen to that. God loves Portland. He loves Vancouver. Sin does not intimidate God or freak him out, you know. Amen. The same blood that saved Mary Magdalene, that saved Peter, amen, that saved me, that saved you, will save anybody who calls on the name of the Lord. Amen. Somebody say anybody can come to Jesus. Race doesn't matter. Gender doesn't matter. Male or female, that is, right? And all this gender confusion and that kind of thing, that's just of the devil, man. He tries to make everything so complicated. And don't you know, it's easy. Somebody say it's easy. It's very simple to come to Jesus. I believe, you know, when we're praying, and, you know, we were watching, again, the healing evangelist meetings with Billy Burke this week, and people were getting healed while they were walking to the front. Like, they would get there and start describing to him the symptoms they've been having, and he'd be like, yeah, but what about now? And they'd be like, well, yeah, but well, wait a second. That lump is gone. And they'd just start rejoicing and praising God. You know, people get healed while, like, I believe when we, the minute the children, for example, made their way to the front, something happened. When the Lord said, pray for the kids, and they got up and started walking to the front, I believe something happened. When we opened up for healing, as soon as, you know, Randy was standing in the back, when he started walking, I believe something is happening. When you got up this morning and started coming this direction to church, something is happening. And the devil's going to try to tell you nothing is happening. There's thousands of people not in church today because they think it's a waste of time. That's the deception of the enemy. Not just this church. I'm talking about all churches. The devil's a liar. Amen? So somebody say it's very easy to get free, to get blessed, to prosper. Put your trust in the Lord, amen, to be healed, hallelujah. By the grace of God, guys, now again, I'm not bragging about me. By the grace of God, I am on my 40th day today of some type of fasting. That's a miracle for me. And the Lord has given me specific things to do every day. It's not a cold turkey. Don't freak out. I haven't been fasting completely for, you can tell by looking at me. I haven't been fasting completely for 40 days. But he's shown me things to do every day for 40 days, right? And I'm like 10 pounds lighter today than I was 40 days ago. when I started. And yeah, we don't fast just to be healthier, but I'll tell you what, it's a good reason. Breaking through in my health. And the Lord has given me a vision specifically for a target weight that I'm going for in the physical. But I believe that's also a mirror image of me laying aside spiritual weight and stuff that I don't need in my life, right? Why? So we can be more effective for Jesus. Amen? I don't need to be spending my time and money in the doctor's office. Remember that old Huey Lewis song, "I Want a New Drug"? How many people nowadays just want a new drug? Just give me a prescription. Side effects may include. Somebody say no. I put on my goals list this year. You should all have a goals list, a list of things you're believing Jesus for in your life. One of the things on my goals list is to be free of prescription drugs. I've been on a blood pressure and a cholesterol pill for at least 2 decades. I've also been 40 to 50 pounds overweight for about the past 2 days. Somebody say, right? So the Lord is giving me a breakthrough this year. And I just can't stop talking about it. I'm not bragging again about myself. I'm bragging about Jesus and his ability to lead us out of captivity, but maybe also to give us an idea that we have a part to play in the process. There is some work involved. Amen? And with fasting, because last week we talked about fasting some, right? The Lord had to really renew my mind to fasting. And one of the things he showed me as I was getting, because he teaches you as you go, you know. He's like, son, you know, you want to know why you've had such a hard time fasting until recently? Because you always have to have your carbs and your caffeine. And he said, I learned from Dr. Don Colbert that after about 3 hours, if you don't get another dose of that, your body just starts freaking out, right? I know I'm not preaching to anybody else in this room. Amen. So the Lord is breaking me through in my health. Now, I'm not saying I never have a coffee. I'm not saying he's just bringing me back down to earth, okay? Bringing me back, then breaking me through. Amen? That he is the God of the breakthrough. Hallelujah. And don't you know, this region of the nation needs a breakthrough from heaven. And it's going to take prayer. It's going to take some fasting. It's going to take some determination. It's going to take some faith. It's going to take some faithfulness. I remember one of the cool things in the Billy Burke service was this young man just jumped up on the stage. He's like, lay it on me, Billy. Lay it on me. I want to change the world. I want to change the world. And he just kind of went like, he goes, yeah, but are you willing to drink from the cup? It's like a lot of people just want to go change the world, but are you willing to stay in the word? Are you willing to be in church? Are you willing to walk in obedience to the Lord? Amen. I believe that young man will, but it's a good reminder. Another thing he said was, you know, I can't just show up to meetings like this because I'm anointed. Well, I'm just anointed. He goes, no, there's things I have to be doing during the week. I have to replenish myself before I come in and minister to you, myself included. I don't just come in because I'm the pastor. I better make up a sermon. This is all straight Holy Spirit right now. None of this is even in my notes. But the Holy Ghost has us on something, right? We don't just come to him in whatever it is you do, business, right, education. I don't just show up here because I'm a preacher and preach. I have to have something to preach, right? The Holy Ghost has to give us something. And that means I have to be feeding myself. I have to go to a watering hole for myself. I have to practice, you know, following the voice of the Lord in my own life. Somebody say it's a daily thing. It's a daily thing. There is a cleansing that the blood of Jesus does continually if we stay in his presence. And this year, the Lord has given me a word for this year for our body, that this is a year of focusing on our fellowship with Jesus. Now, being in church is a big part of that, right? Because we need to fellowship with one another. But it's all about pleasing the Lord. Amen? And he, again, Brother Billy was talking about, you know, we've been praying and healing people, and and all these things. He goes, but he goes, just because you got healed today doesn't mean you're saved, right? He's like, we need to make sure everybody has made a decision for the Lord Jesus Christ in your life, and you're going to follow him with your life. Amen? That's a wonderful thing. But let's pray over this message today. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for giving us eyes to see and ears to hear and hearts to respond to what your Spirit is saying to us today. And we'll give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Somebody say amen. Amen and amen. Well, we're continuing our series entitled Outward Signs of an Inward Work. And our foundation text is Deuteronomy 6, 4, and 5. Does anybody need a notes page, or y'all good? Because we have some in the back if you need one. All right. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 and 5. And the Word of God says this, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart." Somebody say, "Lord, I love you with all my heart." Right? "With all your soul and with all your strength." Amen? And it's not, again, it's not a coincidence or just by chance that it was given to us in this order. First, we love him with our heart, which is our spirit man. That's where I got born again, in my spirit, right? Our spirit man is where we got saved. Now, the area of the soul and of the body, that's where the work is. Amen? Somebody say, church is like 24-hour fitness in the spirit, right? It's like Gold's Gym. And I don't know about you, if you've ever gone to the gym before, but there'll be some people that are at the gym to work out. And there's other people that are probably at the gym just to say, "Well, I went to the gym today." Amen? I've seen this again and again in the larger churches that I was a part of for a number of years, is there's people that just are there to float or something. They're not really in the service. They're not really doing anything. They're out wandering around the foyer, getting a coffee, acting busy, but nothing's happening in their life because they're not taking time to come and sit under the ministry. Amen? And receive from the Lord. Praise the Lord, right? So we love the Lord with all our heart, our spirit. We get saved. But a lot of Christians just stop there and never change. Amen? And praise God. I mean, if you had to pick one, that's the one to get right. Because that's eternity, right? But you don't have to stop there. We can be in this process of becoming more Christ-like, growing into God, growing as a family together in the body of Christ. Amen? And that has to do with our soul, which is our mind, will, and emotions, and our strength, which would symbolize our bodies. Amen? Somebody say, that's where the work is. And you're not doing this to earn some brownie points with Jesus. You're doing this because you love him. Amen? Remember the little Billy Joel song, "I love you just the way you are"? Well, Jesus loves me just the way I am, but he loves me too much to leave me the way I am. Amen. So we're following him ultimately for our lives, right? Well, today's emphasis is going to be on prayer. And, you know, one outward sign of an inward work that God is doing something in your life is that you are a person of prayer. Amen. Maybe one analogy is one evidence that Shelly and me are married is that we talk to one another. We know what each other are doing. We fellowship together. We live at the same house. We sleep in the same bed, right? We hang out. We like to be together. I don't have a cave to hide from my family because I like to be with them. Another good evidence that me and Shelly are married is right here. There's two of them right there. Yeah. They got both of us, right? Amen. And they get their looks from her, obviously. Praise the Lord, right? Amen. Shelly and I are in constant communication, constantly. That's what prayer is. Prayer is not some complicated thing. No. God is your daddy. Religion teaches people, well, no, you have to go through your priest, or you have to go through this or that. You know, a lot of them won't even encourage you to read your own Bible. This is his communication to us, to the world, really, to Israel, to the world, to the church. Amen? And we communicate with the Lord through our hearts, through our words. And you don't have to just have a certain amount of time that you pray. This is my prayer time, right? But it is good to have your time with God. T-A-W-G, TAWG, time alone with God. Amen? But here's a good verse to look at. Ephesians 6:18 says this. Praying always. Somebody say always. I think it was Smith Wigglesworth or somebody. They asked him how much time a day he spends praying. And he said, well, I don't think more than 15 minutes a time. 15 minutes. But then I don't really go 15 minutes without praying either. Amen? Constant communication. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end. Now, see, that's a key thing right there. How do we love the Lord first? With our heart, which is who? Our spirit, in the Spirit. So your prayers come from your spirit, right? Amen? If we start getting into the head, to the logic, to how things look, now, God understands that, right? But we need to be praying to him from our spirit. That's why the baptism of the Holy Spirit is so vital to the body of Christ. If we want to see anything lasting and supernatural and powerful happen, we're going to have to be people that pray in other tongues. Pray in the Holy Spirit. The Bible talks about this. Amen? Being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. So, see, I'm not just coming to God to pray for us four and no more. Right? Amen? Prayer. Somebody say, I pray. Say that out loud. I pray. I pray. I pray all day. Off and on all day, I pray. Amen? And then the Passion Translation says it this way. Embrace the power of salvation's full deliverance like a helmet to protect your thoughts from lies. And take the mighty razor-sharp sword, spirit sword of the spoken word of God. Pray passionately in the spirit as you constantly intercede. Somebody say constantly, right? With every form of prayer at all times. Pray the blessings of God up on all his believers. Praise God. So we're not just praying about what's happening here. We're praying about what's happening all over the world. The body of Christ, our families. But I want to show you in terms of fellowship, this being the year of fellowship, I want to show you the prayer that I learned about, gosh, I was probably in junior high, and I use it still today. Sometimes you don't need to just change things because you learn more and grow more. Sometimes the Lord takes you to the old things because they still work, right? Because there's still that connection there. And this has to do with the Lord's Prayer, Matthew 6, verses 6 through 13. I'm just specifically going to look at verses 9 through 13. And it says this. This is Jesus teaching, right? Aren't you glad his disciples asked him questions? Have you ever thought of that? What if nobody had ever asked Jesus a question? Amen. They said, Lord, teach us how to pray. Oh, man, all years on, right? He said this, in this manner, therefore, pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. I want us all to say that together. Say, our Father in heaven. Hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Praise God. And I remember as a youth, like I said, I might have been junior high, freshman, I don't know. But in my youth group, our youth pastors back then, we were in a little Foursquare church. Good News Foursquare. My youth pastor, I think it was Marty Knight. His assistant, Rockney. Rockney looked like he lived in the gym, man. Muscles, right? And they had this video series. Remember the old video carts in high school? They'd roll out the big cart and the TV. And we had it in our youth group. And it was this pastor, Larry Lee, out of Dallas, or Fort Worth area. And he was teaching us on this prayer as to using it as an outline. Amen. A lot of people, this, you know, you could teach a parrot to say, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy." Does the parrot understand what he's saying? Does he have any clue? Does he have any revelation? So we don't want to get into parroting anything, right? It doesn't just matter how often you confess. Well, give me 72 Our Fathers. No. You need to get some revelation. As the church, we need to understand some more about this. And that's where the Holy Ghost comes in. But Brother Larry Lee was teaching us, and man, I'll tell you what, this has stuck with me, and I'm going to be 50 in 2 years, year and a half, whatever it is. And I've been praying this way since I was in my early teens. Amen? And in fact, it's gotten to this point now where I have a prayer notebook. Amen? And I just want to walk you through this. I want to walk you through my prayer time. So just look at me kind of as a coach or whatever. You can use this. You can apply this. You might get something out of it. The prayer is a living thing. It's a personal thing with you and Jesus. But we're going to pray. We're going to spend some time praying together. We're going to apply this. Amen? So here's how I start. I just get into my prayer time. And it might be, sometimes I might be out loud, sometimes it might be a little bit more under my breath, but I'll always start with, "Our Father in heaven." Somebody say, "Our Father in heaven." And then I just stop there, and I just begin to thank him. Just begin to thank him now. "Lord, I thank you that you're my Father." Do you understand what a revelation this was to those disciples? What? Did he say, "Our Father"? We know he's your Father, but you're saying, I can call God, Abba, Father. I mean, this one thing alone has changed my life. Changed how I pray. Changed how I come to God. When you come to him as daddy, and I know not all of us have had a super great relationship with our dads, but you need to know your heavenly Father more. Amen? We need to spend time with our Heavenly Father. And again, Billy Burke was sharing, and he was talking about how after one service, he went out in the hallway, and Kenneth Copeland was standing there. "Hey, brother, Billy, come back in the back with me." And Billy's like, "Oh, no. Either I did something really good or I did something really bad, and I'm about to hear about it." And they get to the back room, and it's him and Miss Gloria by themselves. "Hey, come on in, Billy." He's like, "Okay, guys, what'd I do?" He's like, "What are you talking about? We just wanted to tell you we love you." He thought he was about to get lambasted or corrected, right? Or scolded about something he said or did. No. "We just want to tell you how much we love you." And we can get like that with God, where we think all he wants to tell you is where you're missing it. No. Daddy just wants me to come see him. Amen. Praise the Lord, right? So we spend time, "Thank you, Lord, you're my Father." And I wrote a couple of verses down here in my book. Behold, 1 John 3:1-2. "Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us that we should be called his children." Amen. Remember this, no matter how old you are, you're still his kid. He doesn't have grandchildren. He doesn't have 32nd cousins. Amen? We're all his kids. Praise the Lord. I mean, if you're born again, I'm talking about. This is a family connection. Amen? Praise the Lord. That's where the world gets off, right? "Oh, everybody's God's child." No, they're not. Not if they didn't receive the Son. You receive the Son, you get the Father. You reject the Son, you reject the Father. Amen. So you can spend minutes there. You can spend all day just thinking about how wonderful the Father is. And then it moves on. And it's cool because this prayer is in seven parts. And seven in the Bible is connected to the word completion. It's a complete prayer, right? The next part is what? Somebody say, hallowed be thy name. Hallowed be thy name. Hallelujah. And I'll tell you what, man. I'm still on discovering how many different names God has listed in the Bible. Here's some that I look at. One, in Genesis 15, I tried to go in order of how they appear here. Genesis 15, 1, do not fear, Abram, I am your shield, your exceeding great reward. So he's my shield and my reward. Thank you, Father, today you are my shield and my reward. One of the words for reward means worth. Lord, you're the one who decides what I'm worth. I receive you, Lord, and you tell me what I'm worth. I see it in your word, and I believe it. Amen? We have to move on. I'm just going to skim over these. Jehovah Roi in Genesis 16, 13. Then she called the name of the Lord who spoke to her. You are the God who sees. He is the God who sees. He sees where you're at. He sees what you need. He cares for you, right? He can give you vision for your life. He can heal your eyes, spiritual eyes, physical eyes. He's the God who sees exactly what I need. Glory to God. Amen. You can imagine that, you know, a parent out there with a two-year-old that's running around and the parent sees he's running toward a train. Perhaps I should go get him, right? So your God is like that. He's the God who sees. He's Jehovah Jireh, or maybe the more correct pronunciation is Yireh, I've heard lately. The Lord will provide, right? Genesis 22, 14. Abraham called the name of the place, the Lord will provide. Amen. Somebody say, he's my provision. You just spend time praising him for being your provider, right? Jehovah Rehoboth, Genesis 26, 22. So he called its name Rehoboth because he said, for now the Lord has made room for us and we shall be fruitful. He's the God who makes room for you, whatever it is, business, education, ministry, amen, and he causes you to be fruitful in your life, amen. Jehovah Rapha, you are the Lord who heals me. Exodus 15, 26, I am the Lord who heals you. And you just spend time praising him for healing you. Amen. You just thank him for his healing, for the blood, and you just spend time meditating on that. Amen. Jehovah Nissi, the Lord is my banner. Exodus 17, 15, and Moses built an altar and called its name, the Lord is my banner. And I love the verse in Song of Solomon, Song of Songs 2, 4. He brought me to the banquet house, and his banner over me is love. Amen? He's covering us. And, man, I'm just getting started here. But because of time, we're going to move on to the next piece, all right? But you spend time studying on the names of God. We actually have a teaching series from a year ago or something where I actually went through in a lot more detail some of these things. But somebody say, hallowed be your name. Hallowed be your name, Lord. Jesus. Somebody say, Jesus. That's the name above all names. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. So if you're having trouble remembering one of the names of God, just say, Jesus. In the name of Jesus, I'm healed. In the name of Jesus, I'm blessed. In the name of Jesus, I'm free. He's the God of my escape. That's another one. He's a God of my breakthrough. That's another one. Oh, man, it's all good stuff. Somebody say, it's all good stuff. It's all good news. Amen. Well, the next part is your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And Romans 14, 17 says this, the kingdom of God does not mean eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. So we're saying, Lord, I pray righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit on this earth as it is in heaven. Amen? And then you just start going, I go through the list. 2 Timothy 2:1-4 says this, I exhort first of all that you make supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings for everyone, for kings and for all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty. See, now you're going into some intercession here, okay? For this is good and acceptable. So I literally make a list. Lord, I apply the blood over President Trump. I apply the blood over Vice President Pence. I apply the blood, yes, over Nancy Pelosi. Anybody in that category, you know, the Democrats, whatever. You pray for them all. I apply the blood over them. Lord, help them to know you. Help them to be saved. Lord, add and subtract from our leadership as you see fit. Take our nation on a righteous course. Amen? And you spend time interceding. Lord, we take authority over things like the coronavirus. Right there, you just take it to take the lumber of the word and whack the devil over the head with it. You know what I'm saying? Amen. Praise the Lord. And you're interceding for people. I go into praying for widows and orphans. James 1:27. I pray over Israel, right? Psalm 122:6. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Amen. That word peace literally means on earth as it is in heaven, okay? This is powerful. That literally reminds us that one day the new Jerusalem is literally going to come down and land in Jerusalem. I mean, talk about on earth as it is in heaven. That's awesome, right? So we're praying over Israel. Amen. Over the church at large, okay? John 17 says that they may be one as you, Father, are in me. So we're praying. I pray for oneness for the church across the world. No, none of this strife, none of this division, none of this whatever, okay? Oneness in the body of Christ. Amen? And then I move on to my family, right? As for me and my house, Joshua 24 says, we will serve the Lord. And I have a list of everybody from me, Shelly, Lacey, Lindsay, Lane, Luke, Mom, Dad. I mean, the Sneers, the Livengoods, the Jacksons, the Beans, all of them, you know, whoever they are. Jesus, you know where they are and what they need. I apply the blood over their lives in Jesus' name. We declare them saved, delivered, healed. Amen. I'll go all the way back to people I knew in high school, college, people I've worked with over the, just covering it all. Somebody, what are you doing? You're praying. You're interceding for people that the Lord would move in their lives. Amen. And I put Redeemed Church in here. I pray for our church in this. Lord, you know the plans and purposes you have for Redeemed Church. Cover them all today. Fill that church up with your presence and power and praises. And amen. Praise the Lord. I go into praying over the world harvest. We call in souls, Lord, from the north, the south, the east, and the west. Amen. North and South Central America, Asia, Russia, Africa, South Africa, Europe, the islands, the Middle East. You know, you're just calling. Well, surely God isn't listening to that broad of a prayer. Oh, yeah. That's what the devil would tell you. He doesn't want anyone to be lost. Pray over North Korea. Pray over South Korea. Pray over Iran. Amen. You're just praying. I want to get a little globe, actually, and have it there so I can just put my hands on it and say, Lord Jesus, your kingdom come, your will be done on this planet. Help people get saved. And then Colossians 4, praying also for us that God would open to us a door for the word. I pray for ministries that we partner with, ministers and ministries across the world that are preaching Jesus, that doors would be open for them to preach God's word. Amen. Part 4. Give us this day our daily bread. Somebody say, Lord, give me this day my daily bread. Amen. That's where I bring God my personal requests. What is it you're believing God for? You bring that to Him. You thank Him for it. You praise Him for it. Amen. Find a scripture that declares the Lord will meet your needs according to His riches. Philippians 4, you know, mine is Joshua 4:14. On that day, the Lord honored Joshua in the sight of all Israel. 5:9, today I have rolled away the disgrace of Egypt from upon you. Not a single word of the good things. Somebody say good things. that the Lord has spoken to the children of Israel failed, they all came to pass. So we're believing God for things to come to pass in our lives. And you have a list. You just say, Lord, I bring this to you, and I bring this to you, and I bring this to you, and I believe I receive these things in the name and by the blood of Jesus. Amen. Part five, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. This is very important. Amen. And when you stand praying, forgive, Mark 11 says, forgive if you have anything against anyone, so that your heavenly Father who is in heaven may also forgive you your sins. Amen. If I'm walking around holding things against people, he's not going to hear my prayers. It's going to impact the results that I'm seeing. So you just say, Lord, I forgive that person. I forgive me. I forgive Uncle Joe, whoever it is. Right? Might even be somebody you don't even know. It's so easy on social media nowadays to get mad at somebody I don't even know. That's just the devil, man, trying to get me to not have effective prayer. So what do? I say, I forgive him, Jesus. That guy that cut me off on the freeway and then showed me his finger, I forgive him. Jesus, amen. Hallelujah. So you just are in the habit of forgiving people. Amen. Part six, and lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from the evil one. Psalm 91:10 says this, no evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. Ephesians 6, we stand therefore having girded our waist with truth. I get my armor on this one, right? Gird my loins with the truth of God, the breastplate of righteousness, feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, taking the shield of faith, the sword of the Spirit, right? We're ready. Ready for this thing. Lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from the evil one, Lord. You're reminding yourself, you know, we're not on the gospel love boat here. This is a battleship. This is a rescue operation, right? Amen. And so we go out covered by the blessing and love of God. And then finally, for yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. For your, and that's where you just spend time praising God, lifting your praying in the Spirit, praising God, thanking him for his goodness. Psalm 69:30, I will praise the name of God with a song and magnify him with thanksgiving. Amen. And then you just go throughout your day. You just go throughout your day praising the Lord, praying in the Spirit. Amen. Being light for people. Hallelujah. And I think being light has kind of a double meaning, right? Yeah, you're shining for Jesus, but you're also not freaking out about everything the world's freaking out about. You're staying light, casting all your care upon him because he cares for you. Amen. So just stand up on your feet right now, and we'll close it up right there, and we'll pray together. Amen. Didn't spend as much time in there actually, you know, praying as I thought maybe I would, but, you know, sometimes it's good to teach on it too. Amen. So praise the Lord. Just lift your hands to the Lord and thank him for his words today. Glory, 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 glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, it's all about fellowship with you, Lord. It's all about fellowship with you, drawing close to you, drawing near to you. Hallelujah. And we just give you the praise. We just give you the praise. Just say, Father God, I commit to be a person of prayer. I'll be sensitive to your Holy Spirit. I'll be in communication with you constantly. And I receive your blessings, Lord, in every area of my life. In Jesus' mighty name, somebody say amen. Amen and amen and amen. You are dismissed.